We're holding on Chof Amud Aleph by the first two dots, about 12 lines from the top. We learned in the Mishnah, we talked about the Mishnah that the Cheder Shoyt of a cotton, you can't be Yotze here in the Megillah from them, and we said Rabbi Yehuda Makshe of a cotton. The Tanya, and we learned in the Braisa on that, Rabbi Yehuda expands on that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, it actually happened with me. Cotton Hayisi, I was a child, a Krisiel, a Maile Mirab Tarkin of Skane and Balud, and I read the Megillah above, because the Bar Kodesh usually stands higher than there than Sibur, like they have in Tzadish Hashols of Bimo, which we go up to with several steps. So I read it for a Taufin and the Skanim in Lud. And I was a cotton, so you see you can be Yotze from a cotton. Amrullah, the Chachamim told him, that's no proof, ain't Mavin Rayim in a cotton. You cannot bring proof from what a child says. In other words, very nice, you did it, but we can't accept Eidos from a child. If you have an adult who was there who says that he saw you reading, fine, you know, we can listen to him. But you're saying about yourself, that's not valid Eidos. Yeah. There are a few things, the Mishnah mentions in Ksubas, there are a few things that if a cotton, that we believe a cotton to testify them about them when he's older, that he saw certain things happening when he was younger, but this is not one of them. And another one, Tanya, we learn in another Braisa, Amar Rebbe, a generation later, Rebbe says, Cotton Hayisi or Krisi Elamayim Rebbe Yehuda. I was also a cotton, and I also read the Megillah in front of Rebbe Yehuda. And Amrullah, the Chacham told him, Ein Mavin Rayim in a Matir. You cannot bring proof from the one who himself holds its mutter. In other words, basically, obviously read it in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one in our Mishnah who says it's mutter. You can't bring proof from him that's the halacha. Usually when you bring a proof from an incident that happened, that you want to establish it's not only theoretically, but it means the halacha is actually that way, because it was done in practice. Okay, it was done in practice in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Very nice. That still doesn't say the Chachamim don't disagree with him. They do. And the halacha is like the rabbi. Last wife, a lemur lein mavin rayim in a cotton. Why didn't they tell Rebbe the same thing they told Rebbe Huda a generation earlier, that you don't bring proof from a cotton? And the answer is indeed that they did mean that. Chod of oidkam relay. They meant two, they're telling him two objections we have to your ages. Chod of the cotton. You said, number one, you were a cotton. And like I said to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't bring proof from ktanim, they can't give ages. But oid, and also, I feel a gadol, you say, even if you were a gadol, or even if there was a gadol who's testifying about it, Ein Mavin Rayim in a Matir. You still can't bring proof from the very opinion of himself who says it's mutter. You have to bring that it was done in front of the rabbi. So you said Rabbi Yehuda's would have been good if he had been a gadol, or if a gadol had come to say it, that's fine. You know, Rabbi Tarfon and the Skenim are a rabbi. You know, you could use that as a precedent. But just that it was done in front of Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't really prove anything. And indeed, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is a katan of any age, even, as we said yesterday, a katan shi'iviyah l'chinuch, you can't be yotze Megillah reading from him, and for the reason that Tosfos was said, because a katan is chayev in mikra Megillah based on a double d'rabbanan, and an adult is only chayev based on a single d'rabbanan. So the katan's chayev, and it is weaker than the adult.
What about a yinika?
What about?
Yinika, like in the Zohar.
The Yanuka like in the Zayah, I mean, very nice. He was a very smart kid, but if he's below Bar Mitzvah, then, the rules are the rules.
They were not
saying
after it. It's not like he was
saying
it, but they were
getting
after it.
The Yanuka and the Zayah, I mean...
No, here.
We're actually talking about that he read it and he was motzi them, yeah. Mishnah says, "Ein kurnes amegillah." You're not allowed to read. The Mishnah is going to list a number of things that can only be done during the daytime, and then the following Mishnah is going to list a bunch more. So, "Ein kurnes amegillah." You cannot read the Megillah, v'loy molin or make a bris milah, v'loy tovlin or tovel. Tosfos has a long discussion over here. What kind of toveling are we talking about? Are we talking about a person toveling? As the Gemara is going to talk about, that most kinds of people who have to tovel because of tumah are supposed to tovel by day, or not necessarily most people, but certain people, whatever. Or does it mean dipping? Or does it mean dipping the ezov, dipping the spring, the bundle of ezov into the parah adruma water in order to sprinkle it? Which that's the next thing in the Mishnah of Lemazin, that you're not allowed to sprinkle the parah adruma water by night. So then, according to that, the Mishnah would be saying not only you can't sprinkle it by night, you can't even dip the ezov in by night. The whole procedure has to be done during the day. Yeah. V'chein, and the same thing. Shemeres yom k'neged yom. A shemeres yom k'neged yom is not allowed to tovel. All these things are true ad shetanet techama, until sunrise. A Shemir Siyam Kenegadiyam, we've talked about before, it's also, Shemir Siyam Kenegadiyam is also called a Zavah Ktana. It's a woman who has, there's a 7-day period when a woman, when a woman is or can be Nida. If she has any bleeding during that time, then for the whole 7 days she's tummy, she goes to the mikveh the night after the 7 days, and then she's tahor. For kodshim, she'd have to wait till the following night, but whatever. Then after the 7 days, you have an 11-day period, which is called Yumei Ziva. Normally she should not be expected to have any bleeding during that time. If she does, if it happens for 3 or more days in a row, she's called a Zavag Dola. This is, and then she needs Shiva Nakiyim, and then she, and then Tovel afterwards, which is what we do nowadays. The way we keep the halachas of Taras Mashvacha is a combination of the halachas of Nida and Zava, because there's a lot of confusion in when you're a Nida and when you're a Zava. But if it was only 1 or 2 days, she's called Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. As Gemara is going to explain, all she needs to do is she needs to be able to count one clean day. So she had, let's say, she bled on Sunday. So as long as it ended before the end of the day on Sunday, then Monday is her Yom Tahar. And then that's it. Monday, technically she can go to the mikveh, although the Gemara is going to, as we'll talk about in the Gemara, though, until the end of that day, we have to wait and see what happens. If she bleeds any more after that, then according to an opinion that she's retroactively tummy. Be that as it may, whatever, once she tovels on Monday, and the end of the day comes, the Tzeitzus HaKavim comes, then she's tahar. So I was saying, Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom can only tovel after Netzach Hamah. She cannot tovel during the night. Unlike a Nida, Davka will tovel by night.
But she would bleed 3 days.
If she bleeds 3 days, then she's a Zavag Dola. Then she's a Zavag Dola, then she needs to count 7 clean days before she can tovel. Otherwise, we're saying she only needs 1 clean day.
She bleeds 1 day, she's considered Shemeres.
Yom Keneged Yom, and if she bleeds 2 days also, she's Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She bleeds on Sunday and on Monday. Tuesday is her clean day, and sometime on Tuesday she goes to the mikveh, and Tuesday night she saw her.
Now what makes her a Nida?
Nida would be as for during the 7 days. We talked about before that there's a machlokas between the Rambam and all the other Rishonim, how this is calculated. The Rambam holds that what you do is, once a woman reaches puberty and starts having periods, you count from then on, you know, the only thing that breaks it up is pregnancy and childbirth, you count for the rest of her life, 7 and 11, 7 and 11. You have 7 days which are called her Yomei Nida, the next days which are called her Yomei Ziva, and then immediately after that, the 19th day begins again Yomei Nida, whether she actually bleeds or not. In other words, it comes out according to the Rambam. A woman who has, let's say, a normal 28 or 30 day or whatever it is cycle, sometimes her regular monthly period will be during the days of Nida, and sometimes it'll be during the days of Ziva. All the other Rishonim argue with the Rambam, and a lot of them say they have no idea where the Rambam got this idea from. They say that after the 11 days of Ziva, the Yemei Nida only begin the next time she bleeds. So you have the first Yemei Nida begin when she bleeds, at her normal period. It lasts for 7 days. During that 7 days, she's tummy, whether it was 1 day bleeding or whether it was all seven. The next 11 are Yemei Ziva, or potentially Yemei Ziva, that is, if she bleeds during that time, then she can be a Zavag Dola or Ktana, or not, as the case may be. If after that, 3 months pass and nothing happens, then fine. Until the next time she bleeds, Yemei Nida, don't start over again.
As opposed to the Rambam,
who would say that during all that time, you still continue. Yeah, exactly. Yes. This that we're saying, by the way, that a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom can only tovel by day, this is talking about if she's toveling on the actual Yom Tahar, on the actual day that she's waiting to see what happens. If she doesn't have a chance to tovel that day and she tovels after that, she is allowed to tovel by night. Sort of the same is true, although in reverse, with a Nida. A Nida is supposed to tovel by night, on the night after the 7th day. If, for whatever reason, she's not able, if there's an onus and she's not able to tovel on the night, technically speaking, she's allowed to tovel during the day, although the Chachamim asked it and only allowed it in extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So No. There's almost never a case where a Nida is allowed to tovel on the 7th day. There's, like, very rare exceptions. I'm talking about, let's say she couldn't tovel the night after the 7th day. Then theoretically, she could tovel the day of the 8th day, the 9th day, the 10th day, whatever. In practice, the Chachamim frown on that, unless there's extenuating circumstances. For example, the mikveh is outside the city, and you can't get there by night, or whatever, you know. Right. The Kulan, in all of these cases, Sha'asim, Sha'Allah, Amar HaShachar, all these cases, if they did them after Alois HaShachar, then B'di'evet it's kosher. Because, as Rashi says, from Alois HaShachar, as the Gemara is going to explain, really is already considered day. You don't want, though, people are not so expert to know when it's a loisa shachar versus when it's still night. As opposed to netzachama is an unambiguous thing. The sun is coming above the horizon. So therefore, much better to do it after netzachama so that people don't get confused. The Alter Rebbe talks about this in two places. In one place, he uses the same expression as Rashi, that people are not baki in Alois HaShachar. In the other place, he uses an expression, something along the lines of that the Iker Mitzvah is from, I think he says that the Iker Mitzvah is from Netzachama or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And not from Alois HaShachar, yeah.
Because of the key.
No, because of a different reason. That's what I'm saying. In one place, he mentions this idea of the key. In another place, he gives a slightly different reason. Anyway. So the Gemara asks Manolon, how do we know this, that the Megillah can only be read by day? These days are remembered and done, which means by Yom Ein B'Layla Loi, only by day, not by night. In that case, do we have to say then that our Mishnah contradicts the Rishur Ben Levi? We had a couple of weeks ago, Chayav Adam Likras Megillah B'Layla, a person is obligated to read the Megillah by night, and to repeat it by day. Here we see the Mishnah is telling us you can only read the Megillah by day, implies there's no reading by night. We learned in the first parak that Sudas Purim can't be by night. As far as Shalach Manas and Matanas Lev Yonim, I believe the same is true for them, that they all have to have to be by day. Megillah reading is the only one where we have both by day and by night. I'm not completely sure about that, though. I haven't looked it up. Yes, if indeed those things are only during the day, then yeah, by Yom HaMeila, yeah. But mainly we said yesterday that Nizkarim refers to the reading of the Megillah, yeah. Anyway, so Rabbi Shurban Levi says you have to read the Megillah by night also. Our Mishnah seems to be saying you can't read the Megillah by night, only by day. And the answer is Kikatoni Adiyoim. You're right. Our Mishnah is only talking about the daytime reading. Our Mishnah is not addressing the nighttime reading. And there are actually some Mephoshim who say that in the times of the Mishnah, there didn't yet exist this takana that you had to read the Megillah by night, only by day. Right? It was Rabbi Shimon Levi's Chiddush that you have to read it by night, and that became the halacha. And then that would fit well with what the Gemara is saying over here, that the Mishnah is only talking about the daytime one, because in the Mishnah's time, they didn't have a nighttime one. Mishnah said, V'loy molen v'cholo, that you cannot do a bris milah by day. D'chtiv, by yoyim ha-shmini yimel, on the eighth day, you have to do a bris milah. The Ritva, by the way, talks about the question, why is the Mishnah single out only these five things that are mentioned here in the Mishnah? And in the next Mishnah, we're going to have about 20 things that are only kosher by day. So why did it single out only these? He says the reason is because each of these things, there's a chiddush in it. Megillah, we just said that there is a nighttime reading, but nevertheless, the daytime one can only be done after Nes or B'dievet after Alei Tashachar. Mila is another one, he says, because the Gemara in Yevamos, so we'll get to it in a few months, but the Shem discusses, the Gemara has a long sugi over there about the halachas of Mila. The Gemara discusses, we know for sure if Mila is done bismana on the eighth day, we know it has to be done by day. What about if you have a bris is delayed for whatever reason? Can it be done by night? There is an opinion that says yes. But we see that our Mishnah says no. And that would be the chiddush, and so forth with each of the other ones. What that's halacha, is that any bris Mila has to be done by day, whether it's bismana or not, yeah. That was by day, no?
What?
That's before Matan Torah. You can't bring a proof from. Besides, he did it by day. It doesn't mean that you have to zafka do it by day. No, from when we say by yom hashmini, it means zafka by day. Well, a tovel and lemazin v'cholah. We said that you cannot tovel or sprinkle parah adrum water. And again, we're either talking about toveling as in a person toveling in the mikveh, or we're talking about dipping the ezov into the parah into the water. Because the pasuk says that the tahor person should sprinkle on the tamei person on the seventh day, the davka of the day, and the Torah puts together tvila with hazoya, because afterwards the Torah says after a person has part adrum water sprinkled on them, they have to dip in the mikveh, the or according to Tosfos, the lochach ezer v'tavol b'mayim ish tahor v'hiza. So you have the tefillah and the hazoya go together. V'chein shemer siyam keneged yom letit v'lat shetan etzachama v'chola. And then the Mishnah had said that similarly, shemer siyam keneged yom is not allowed to tovel until netzachama. The question is pshita. Ma'ishna shemer siyam keneged yom kol chayiv tefillah. Why would she be different than any other people who are chayiv to tovel? We just said so. According to the first explanation that tefillah means people toveling, then yeah, the Mishnah already said, v'loy toveling, so why now? It's singling out a Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom. Or, according to the second explanation, that Tovelin did not mean people, it meant the Ezov. And the question is, why out of all the people who Tovel, why is the Mishnah only mentioning a Shemer Sam Kneged Yom? All the other people who Tovel also are supposed to Tovel by day.
Who are those?
Ezov, for example, Soda. Now, there are cases, there are cases of people who are Tomei who could Tovel whenever they want. They need Heir of Shemesh, but, for example, someone who's Tomei by a Sheretz or a Balkari or whatever is allowed to Tovel by night if they want to. They're going to have to wait until the following night to become completely Tahor. But they can Tovel whenever they want. But, for example, we have cases, where the Torah says a person is Tomei with a major Tumah, for example, a Zav or a Metzora, where they'd have to Tovel by day. Again, why is the Mishnah singling out the Shemer Sam Kneged Yom? The answer is Itzrich. We need to tell us because we would have thought, if not for that, that if Shemer Sam Kneged Yom, remember that she only had bleeding for 1 or 2 days, not 3 days that would make her a Zav Agdola. So you would think, therefore, she should be considered like the first Re'iyah of a Zav. We learned back in the first parak that a Zav also goes through a similar kind of thing. If he has only one Re'iyah, then he's like a Baal Keri. He's only Tomei with a mild kind of Tomei. He goes to the Mikveh and he needs Head of Shemesh and that's that. If he has twice, then he becomes a major source of Tumah. And if he says 3 times, then not only he has to have Shiva Nakiyim and dip in spring water, etc. And if it happens 3 times, then he needs, on top of that, he needs a carbon. So you would have thought a Shemer Sam Kneged Yom, who is a minor kind of Zava, should be like a one-time Zav, who is a minor kind of Zav. Ur'i Rishon Shel Zav is Kishel Balkari. And in turn, the first Ur'i of a Zav is compared to a Balkari. Plus it says at the end of Parshas Metzora, after it presents the halachas of Zav, Zava, and Balkari and so forth, it says, this is the Torah of the Zav, and the one from whom Shechvazera will come out. We're assuming, since it only says the word Zav once, we assume that Rashi says it means only the one-time Zav. So therefore, we're comparing him to somebody who had Shechvazera. Mal Balkari Tovel B'Yom, so just like a Balkari tovels by day, so what we're saying is a one-time Zav is like a Balkari. They can Tovel on the same day when the Keri or the Ziva happened. We would think then that a Shemer Sam Kneged Yom is similar. Now, but there's one more detail we need. V'habi Mamalei Matzi Tavla. Now, there's no question. We know that the Shemer Sam Kneged Yom cannot Tovel on the actual day when she had the flow. Right, because the pasuk says Kol Yemei Zova Kemishkem Nidasa Yila. It says all the days of her ziva, it should be her anything she lies on is like when a nida lies on, it becomes tummy. So we know for a fact if she had this first flow on Sunday, for example, there's no question that whole day she's tummy. There's no way she can go to the mikveh that day. You would think the Lelia. So when it comes to that night, Mias, never at least. Let her do a little bit of shimur then into the night. We should say the night already is the beginning of the day. And therefore she should be able to tovel a little bit into the night. Once she saw already, the night began and she's tahor. Why do we make her wait until the next morning? If we compared her to a first time zav, we would say that a first time zav doesn't need a clean day at all, so she can tovel on the same day. Fine, she needs a clean day, but the clean day should be able to be a little bit of the night is enough to be considered a day. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush. Because, given the Bayat Sfira, since the Torah is saying that she does need to count, she doesn't need 7 clean days, she only needs 1 clean day, but still, she needs a day. Sfira, be a mommy. The definition of Sfira is that you need a daytime. Just like when it comes to the 7 days, just like when it comes to when she needs Shiva Nakim, when she's a Zav Agdola, there's no question she needs 7 days, because there the Torah actually says Shiva Yomim. The Safra L'Shivas Yomim. So the same thing here. Even when it's only one, she also needs a day, not a night. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. You would have thought otherwise. She could be able to keep, as long as part of the night is clean, she can already tovel by night. Yeah. And again, the fact still remains that if she tovels on the next day, if she tovels during the day, and then later on in the day she has more bleeding, then there's a machlokes at the end of Masechta Nida, the machlokes at the Shama Basilo, about what happens. Then do we retroactively consider that she was a Nida all the day so far, so therefore anything she touched that day retroactively is Tomei, or not? Mishnah said, sure, that any of these things, any of these five things we mentioned in the Mishnah, if they were done after Alois HaShachar, it's kosher. Menani mili, how do we know this? Omar Rabba, do Omar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Vayikra lekim lo'or yom. The Eibishter called the day, called the light day. And what does that mean? The word or over here is not a noun meaning light. It's actually a verb meaning to make light. Lameir uba kra yom. As it's becoming light, it's already called day. So once Alois HaShachar, once you start seeing light in the sky, that already can be considered day. That's why, Elamai Atzer. Well, then by that logic, what about the continuation of the pasuk? V'lachoshech kara loyla. When it says the darkness he called night, what is that? Does that mean also l'machshech uva kara loyla? Does that mean that as it's becoming dark from shtiyah already, it can be considered night? Can't. Hakayim alon dat tzeitz kachavim lav loylahu. We know for a fact that it's not considered night until tzeitz kachavim. Which Tosfos points out. I mean, when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't do that. We consider those Bein HaShemashos from Shtiyah until Tzeitz HaChavim, but that's basically because we have a suffix what's considered Tzeitz HaChavim. Tzeitz HaChavim definition is of that you can see three medium-sized stars, but what are considered medium-sized? There are some stars that are bright enough to see even during daylight. So that's why you have that. That's why you have that whole suffix. But if it weren't for that, theoretically Shabbos would begin it like this. We end Shabbos at Tzeitz HaChavim. Theoretically, Shabbos would begin at Tzeitz HaChavim. So we can't just because we have a suffix on the sides. That's why we begin Shabbos and Yom Tov by Shtiyah. Yeah. In principle, the day only begins by Tzeitz HaChavim. The night rather only begins by Tzeitz HaChavim. So you can't say that's what the pasuk means. Elo Amar Rav Zeira Mehacha. So no, rather Rav Zeira says we get it from a different pasuk. The pasuk that describes in Nehemiah, part of Sefer Ezra, how the Jewish people, this is several years after the Beis Hamikdash has been, the second Beis Hamikdash has been rebuilt, but the Goyim are still harassing the Jews in Yerushalayim. This is the city, the city wall is still breached in many places, so the Goyim are able to infiltrate all the time. So Nehemiah decides, you know what, we got to get together and rebuild the wall. They start rebuilding the wall. The Goyim are harassing them even more and trying to attack them and all. So eventually they had to work out a system. The pasuk says, "Anachnu oisim malacha." We were working on the work of building the wall. V'chetzim, but we had to split up. Some of us are working on the building. V'chetzim, and half the people, machzikim beramachim, are holding spears to stand on guard. Me'alois hashachar v'atzeitz kachavim. So that was their work day. From alois hashachar, they already started their work day. V'omer, and also the pasuk then continues a couple of sukkim later. V'hoyolano, the next pasuk actually. V'hoyolano halayla mishmer. V'hoyolano halayla mishmer. That the night would be for us for guarding. We would stand on guard all night, and we'd work during the day. So during the day, half of the people would be working, and half of them would be standing guard. By night, all of them would be standing guard. What do you need that second pasuk for? Once you have the first pasuk already mentions Alois HaShachar, Tzeitz HaChavim, what does the second pasuk add? The answer is V'chitema, because otherwise you might have thought to say, Misha'ola Omen HaShachar Lav Yamama, really it's not yet considered day after Alois HaShachar, Umiki Arba Shim Shalelia, and really maybe after Shkia is already considered night, V'iyu Makadmi Omachashki. So fine, Nehemiah and his people were going extra early and extra late. They were coming early and staying late. Doesn't really mean that the halakhic day begins and ends at those times. Toshma, that's why the pasuk says v'hayolano halayla mishmer v'hayoyim melacha. That the day was for work and the night was for guarding. So therefore, we see the whole time that they're working from alois hashachar to tzeitz hachavim is considered day la'halacha. Tefillin, you don't need netzachama. Tefillin, you need mishayakir. All those things, theoretically, all those things, technically, if you do them after Alois HaShachar, you are Yotze, B'dievet, but L'chatchila, you're supposed to do them at their proper times, which is with Tefillin and Tzitzis and Shema and Mishiyakir, and yeah. Mishnah says, Kol Yom Kosher, the Kriyas HaMegillah, the whole day is kosher to read the Megillah, and the Ritva is not just Kriyas HaMegillah, it's actually all the things that it mentioned in the previous Mishnah also. He says it's just that it mentions Kriyas HaMegillah, because that was the first one on the list. The Shagas Aryeh, the Torah Evan, says a little bit differently. He says because our Masechta is talking about Megillah, he wanted to repeat that to make sure you're absolutely clear about that point. But he didn't have to mention the other ones about Tovlin and Mazin and so forth, because those don't really belong in this Masechta. Anyway, L'kriyas Megillah, V'l'kriyas HaHallel, also the whole day is kosher to read Hallel, to say Hallel, V'l'kriyas Shofar, to blow Shofar, V'l'tilas Lulav, to take Lulav, V'l'tfilas HaMusafin, to daven Musaf, V'l'musafin, and to bring the actual korban Musaf, which, by the way, that means that this Mishnah is disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda in Brachas. Rabbi Yehuda in Brachas says that you can only daven Musaf and only bring the korban Musaf till 7 hours. This Mishnah is saying not like it. And technically, the halacha is like that. However, it says that you can daven Musaf the whole day. However, the Gemara says over there in Brachas, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that if you daven, that you're not supposed to daven Musaf after 7 hours a day. If you do, you're called Peshea.
That's usually about after 12?
No, 7 hours. Musaf, we're talking about. 7 hours would be on an ideal 6-to-6 day. Seven hours would be 1 o'clock. Nowadays, most of the Yom Tovim, and most of the year, actually, from March until November, when you have daylight savings, then 7 hours would be closer to 2 o'clock. But it also depends when Alos Hashanah, when Nes and Shkia are. You have to look on a calendar. But yeah.
And also, the exception to the agreement with Yom Kippur,
you do daven later on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, obviously, because the davening is so much longer. But
yeah.
It is allowed, but it's basically it's one of those Chilah versus B'dieven kind of things.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ulavidui Aparim. Also, the whole day is kosher to do the vidui on the parim. This is when you have what we say every morning in Ezer Mekayim, parim and Itzrafim. There's a case where the tzibur has to bring a par when the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha, when the kohen gadol has to bring a par because he made a mistake in halacha, when they bring the chatas. In each of those cases, the kohen gadol has to say vidui on it. So that can be done any time during the day. Ula vidui meiser, and the next one is vidui meiser. This is the thing that the Torah describes in Parshas Kisavai, that after in the fourth year, in the seventh year of Shemitah, after you've cleared out and then taken care of all the truma and meiser that you've been storing up in your barn for the last couple of years, then you go to the Bais Mikdash and you make a declaration, V'arti HaKadosh Min HaBayis, I've removed everything that I'm supposed to from the house, and I've done all the mitzvahs that I'm supposed to properly with the crops. Hashem, give us a bracha. This is called vidui meiser. So that has to be done by day, but it can be done any time during the day. Ula vidui Yom Kippurim, the vidui that the Kohen Gadol says on the Sayer on Yom Kippur. L'smicha, doing smicha on an animal, on a korban before you bring it. L'shchita, l'tnufa, waving the parts of the korban, various korbanos, the Torah says you have to wave them, shlomim, koda, the ram of a nazir, a couple of others. L'hagosha, Hagosha is one of the things you have to do with a korban mincha. After the kohen takes the kohen mincha flour out of it and puts it into a keli. The taking out the handful is the equivalent of shechting an animal korban. The putting in a keli is the equivalent of catching the blood in the keli. Then he walks it over to the mizbeach. He walks it over to the mizbeach. He touches it to the corner. He touches the keli to the corner of the mizbeach. That's called hagosha. I think it could be any corner, but I think if I remember correctly, the Mishnah says that it was the southwest corner. Anyway, you touch it there, and then you take the kohenim, you bring it up from the mizbeach, and you burn it, and the rest of the mincha is eaten by the kohenim. So that's hagosha. That's bringing the mincha to the mizbeach. Doing the kmitza of the korban mincha, laktara. And then burning the mincha on the koymet of mincha on the mizbeach. We're not talking about over here, by the way, burning the pieces of the korbanot, because the Mishnah is going to mention later those you're allowed to continue doing all night. Here we're talking about after burning the koymet of the mincha. The melika, when the kohen uses his fingernail to nip the neck of a brewed korban, asmatas onola. Has to be done by day. L'kabbalah, and receiving the blood of a regular korban. We're not talking about over here receiving the blood of a bird, because there is none. In the case of a korban oila, you spritz the blood directly from the bird onto the side of the mizbeach, and in the case of a chatas, you press it against the wall of the mizbeach. Either way, there's no keli that you catch it in. So when we say over here kabbalah, it means afghan animal korban. Ula hazaya, and sprinkling on the mizbeach. Olashkodasota and giving the sota the water, the sota water to drink. Olarifa Segla and decapitating the Egla Rufa, that the Torah talks about in Parshas Shoftim. Olatara Samatsota and the procedure of making a Matsota Tahor with the broods and the Ezer of Zezev and so forth from the beginning of Parshas Matsota. All those things have to be done by day, as the Gemara is going to learn out from Sukkim, and all of them can be done any time during the day.
There's not that many
mitzvahs, right? Well, that's the next thing. Kol Kosher. The whole night is kosher to harvest the barley for the Korban Omer. Well, the Chalavim Vayvarim, and also for burning the remaining fats and pieces of the Korbanos on the Mizbeach. Yes, there is a Makdimin in all these things, but if you didn't, then you could do them any time during the day. Same thing with the night ones. For example, here it says Ksira Sa'omer. Tosfos discusses over here about the relevance of this to Sfira Sa'omer, Tosfos over here talks about, which becomes one of the opinions in Halacha, that if you didn't count, that Sfira Sa'omer is meant to be the same as Ksira Sa'omer, just like the Mishnah is saying over here, that Ksira Sa'omer Davka has to be done by night, it cannot be done by day. The same thing with making the bracha, not making the bracha, the same thing with counting the omer. If you didn't count it by night, then you can't count it by day. Now there are other Rishonim who disagree with that. They say that you can count by day as well, maybe even with a bracha. Because after all, there is a Mishnah in Menachah, as Tosfos points out. Here the Mishnah is saying as a plain fact that you can only harvest the Omer by night, not by day. If you missed it by night, then you've missed your chance. But there's a Mishnah in Menachah that says that not, that would be evidence kosher.
If you could say that the Ksira is like the Ksira, if you didn't do it at night, you wouldn't do it today, should be able to do the Ksira also during the day.
That's what I'm saying. So that Tosfos is saying that on the one hand, we have a Mishnah in Menachos that says that if you harvested it by day, b'dievet it's kosher. On the other hand, our Mishnah is saying that it's not. Seems to be saying that it's not. And our Mishnah, that Mephoshim talk about, that we should assume, unless we know otherwise, we should assume that Halacha is like what it says in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is Halachas Sukkos. It's like plain, simply stated Halachas. There's no Machlokas on it. It's a list. It's like a list of given facts.
It's still Halachas.
Right, so that's the thing. So Tosfos says that no, the halacha would be like our Mishnah, that if you harvest the omer by day, even b'dievet, no good. By the same logic, then, Tosfos says, if you try to count Sfidat omer by day, you haven't accomplished anything, you have to adapt to do it by night. Now, like I say, there are other Rishonim who disagree with that, who say the halacha is like the Mishnah in Menachos as far as harvesting the omer, and therefore also as far as making the, and for therefore also as far as counting the omer. The halacha, the way we do it nowadays, is a little bit of a hybrid of those two. That we say that if you didn't count Sfira by night, you do count it by day, although without a bracha. If you missed it by night and by day for a full 24 hours, then you can't count with a bracha anymore, because then it's not Tmimois anymore. What Tosfos is saying is that no, according to Tosfos, if the halacha were completely like Tosfos, if you missed it by night, even if you counted by day, you still could not continue counting the rest of the nights with a bracha. The fact that we allow you to continue counting the rest of the nights with a bracha, if you remembered by day, that's according to the Rambam and other Rishonim.
If according to Tosfos, counted at night, but you didn't count the right count,
that would be the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. The fact that nowadays, when we forget by night that we count by day without a bracha, that's sort of according to Tosfos. And according to Tosfos, you shouldn't even bother counting at all. You're not accomplishing anything. But certainly according to them, you can't make a bracha on it. And according to them, you can't even continue counting Sfirat Omer at all with a bracha, because you missed a night, and once you missed a night, then that's it. On the other hand, since the other poskim hold that you can, then we accept that to the extent that if you remember it by day, we'll allow you to continue counting the rest of the night with a bracha.
Would that change if the Beit HaMikdash was here, and all the tears would be like this?
When Mashiach comes, we'll find out, right? When Mashiach comes, we'll have to see. With Alapha, is Paschim like?
What do they do during the time of the Mitzvah?
We don't know. I mean, they counted Sfira Sa'omer, but what happened if a person missed Sfira Sa'omer by night, you mean? I don't know. Anyway. Right, that's true. One of the Mephoshim, I think it might be the Ritva, points that out. That, for example, yeah, you have the Korban Pesach. Well, that's actually one let's learn the Klal first. Zeh Klal, Dovash Mitzvah Sabayim Kosher Kol Yom. Anything where the mitzvah is to do it by day can be done any time during the day. Dovash Mitzvah Sabalila, Kosher Kol Alila. Anything that can be done by night, then the mitzvah can be done all night. Although, again, with Sfira Sa'omer, for example, it's a Machzedek, right, that it's written in the Siddur, that ideally you should do it before Chatzos. If you didn't, yeah, you could do it all night with a bracha, but the chatzilah is not given. But yeah, what you were saying is, for example, that, yeah, the Korban Pesach, the Torah specifically says it has to be in the afternoon. Obviously, that can't be in the morning. Yeah, the morning Talmud has to be in the morning, the afternoon Talmud has, yeah. We learned in brachas, actually, there's a similar machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Hoda, just like there was a machlokas about the Musaf, there's a machlokas about the Korban Talmud, Shal Shachar. The Chachamim say it can be brought to Chatzos, and therefore you can daven Shachar to Chatzos. Rabbi Hoda said till 4 hours, and therefore, and because according to him, you can only bring the Talmud till 4 hours. And then with the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, it's a given, it can be brought, in theory, it can be brought any time after Chatzos. In practice, we learned from Sachim that most of the year they would bring it nine, they would bring it 8.5 hours into the day in order to allow time for people to bring Karbanos. Theoretically, it could be brought any time until Shkia, if need be. Only the earliest they would ever bring it, which is when Erev Pesach comes out on Erev Shabbos, they bring it 6.5 hours into the day, a half hour after Chatzos, in order to leave enough time for people to bring their Korban Pesach. So they ask Manolan, how do we know all these things? So let's start with Mikra Megillah. How do we know it can be done? How do we know it has to have to be done by day? So we said because of the Dama Krav, Yom Elin, this Kodesh Menasim. These days are remembered and done, so it has to be dafka by day. With Kriya Sahalo, the Mizrach Shemesh Ad Megoye, because in Halo it says from the rising of the sun till its setting. So only during that time can you say Halo. That's the only time we say Halo by night. Actually, in the first 2 nights of Pesach. So when we're saying it at the Seder, that's different, because then it's not a real Kriya Sahalo, that's why we don't say a bracha on it. For example, we split it up into two parts. The one that we do in Shul also, I mean, we say a bracha on it, and all the I mean, you know, there's different minhagim on that also, but we who say it by night, but still, you know, that's an exception, basically. It's the normal Kriya Sahalo is only by, the normal Kriya Sahalo is only by day. Rabbi Yosi, there's a different reason, because the pasuk says, Zehayom al Hashem. This is the day that Hashem made, so it has to be actually said by day. L'natilof lulav, d'chtiv l'kachtem l'chem by yom harishon. You should take for yourself on the first day. L'kir shofer, d'chtiv yom t'rua yelchem. It should be a day of t'rua. And the same thing applies to the t'kir of Yom Kippur of Yovel also, because they also use the word b'yom ha-kippurim. Will to bring the carbon mosef the d'chtiv t'vau yom b'yom, because it says in general about carbonus, this pasuk d'vau yom b'yom is specifically talking about the mosafim, that they have to be brought each day's thing on its day. Ul tfilos ha-mosafim, that's k'mosafet, shavu rabbanan. The rabbanan made the same rule for tfilos ha-mosef as they did for mosef, as there is for mosef itself. If mosef itself can be any time during the day, so can tfilos mosef. Well, the vidri parim, how do we know the vidri parim can only be done by day? The yalef kapara, kapara miyem kaporim. We're making the shava of the word kapara from Yom Kippur. The tanya, gabi yem kaporim, we learn in a braisa that it says by Yom Kippur, pasuk b'chipper bader v'ad beisa, that the Kohen Gadol should make kapara for himself and for his household, which he does two vidriyim on the par, actually, first for himself and his family, and then for himself and all the Kohenim. And the braisa says the kapara is dvarim akos of medaber. The pasuk is talking about kapara involving words. Usually in Chumash, when you talk about the kohen making kapara, it means by putting the blood on the mizbeach of the carbon. But here Rashi points out, we learned this in Yuma, and here the braisa goes on to say it can't mean over here the actual sprinkling of the blood, because when the pasuk says v'chiper bader v'ad beisa, the par hasn't been shechted yet. The next thing in the pasuk is v'shachat es parachat. Necessarily, the v'chiper over here has to mean the vidri. And that has to be by day. The kapara bimamo, kapara has to take place by day, dichtiv by yom azei chaper aleichem. The other half of the Gzeira Shava is, so we have by Yom Kippur, it says, v'chiv v'adir v'ad beisei, and by the parim, by the vidri aparim, by the par kohen gadol, or the par helam davar shal tzibur, and also by both of them, it uses the expression v'chiv for all of our kohen. Well, the vidri ma'aseh v'chola d'chtiv, because the pasuk says by vidri ma'aseh v'amar to l'fnei Hashem l'kecha b'yarti akodesh min abayis, that's describing vidri ma'aseh. The somachle, and the very next thing the Torah says is hayoyim hazeh Hashem l'kecha mitzavcha. On this day, Hashem is commanding you. So we see from that hekesh that the Torah is saying that vidri ma'aseh has to be by day. L'smicha l'shchita, that smicha and shchita have to be done by day. D'chtiv b'samach v'shachach. First of all, the pasuk says that the smicha, you do smicha and then you do shchita, which means there's a hekesh between them. There is actually, on top of that, there's a machloikas we talked about before in Beitza. We'll have much more about it in Chagiga. There's a machloikas whether you have to have the smicha is supposed to be right before the shchita. even according to the opinion, which is the Hillel, that says it doesn't have to be, that the smicha can be done before Yom Tov, for example, and then you do the shchita on Yom Tov, even they agree that there's still a hekesh over there, it can be done only at the same time that the shchita can be done. And as far as shefting a carbon, the Torah says on the day when you bring your carbon. So therefore, smicha also has to be by day.
Because of the
hekesh of a samach b'shachar, right? The tnufa, waving the carbon. It says on the day that you wave the omer. And once we say that that applies to the omer, then it applies to all the other cases where a carbon has to be waved as well. I was saying before, there's the shlamim, for example, the chaz of a shoik of the shlamim that are given to the kohen have to be waved. The chaz of a shoik, as well as a leg from the shlamim of a nazir, together with some of the bread that he brings with it, have to be waved. The mincha of a side, the kohen puts his hand. The owner holds these things. The kohen puts his hand underneath, and they wave it in all six directions. Yeah, like a lulav. Ula hagasha. The next thing the Mishnah had said was hagasha, the touching the keli with the carbon mincha to the corner of the mizbeach. The itkash l'tnufa, because the Torah makes a hekesh between that and tnufa. The kohen takes from the woman, meaning from the soita, the mincha of jealousy, the heinif, and he weighs it, the hikriv, and then he offers it. And the offering over here means the hagasha. Because Rashi says, because it can't mean that actually bringing the kohen on the mizbeach, because only after that, only after the vehikriv on the mizbeach, does it talk about him taking the kmitza. Necessarily, the vehikriv has to be something that's done before that, where you take the keli and touch it to the corner of the mizbeach. So we see that if tznufa has to be by day, because we said v'yom hanifchem, then the vehikriv, the hagasha, also has to be done by day. The next four things, which all have to do with bringing korbanos, we know the Torah list in Parashat Tzav, all the different kinds of korbanos, the Torah, la'ola, la'mincha, v'lachatas, etc., we say the pasuk in morning brachas. And then the next pasuk says, v'yom tzavot yes b'nei Yisrael, on the day that Hashem commanded the Jewish people to bring these korbanos. So we see that all korbanos have to be brought by day. So why, dafka, are we singling out these things? So Rashi gives two possibilities. One is that all of these things are the actual all of these things are the actual bringing of the korban. We're not talking about, for example, we're not talking about, for example, the shchita we mentioned before. We need a separate pasuk for, because the shchita is not really considered. It's not an avoda. A zor can do it, for example. Rashi says another way of looking at it is all of these things are essential to the korban. You don't have a korban without melicha, without kmitza, or etc. Whereas, for example, with the mincha, you're supposed to touch you're supposed to do hagasha, you're supposed to touch it to the corner of the mizbeach, but b'dieved, if you didn't, the mincha can still be kosher. And similarly with tznufa. Therefore, we need a separate sukkim for all those things. The giving the soita to drink has to be done by day, because asya torah, we make a zero shava between the two words torah. Ksiv hakav asal ha-kain es kalat torah hazois, that the kohen does to her the soita, all of this torah. When the torah describes how you go to the Beis Din HaGadol, to the Sanhedrin, to get clarification on a question of halacha, according to the torah which they teach you, v'ala mishpat, and the mishpat. So we make a double hekesh over here. Ma mishpat b'yom, just like mishpat has to be done by day. This is yet another hekesh, which the Gemara is leaving out over here, but Rashi explains that when the Torah talks about the halachas of inheritance, it uses the expression b'yom hanchila yasbono. Inheritance is called, inheritance is called in the Torah mishpat, ha'isalachem l'chukas mishpat. So we see then that inheritance, has that when you're judging cases of inheritance, has to be done by day. So therefore, any other judgment, also any other mishpat, has to be done by day. In turn then, since the Torah mentions together the word mishpat and Torah, so we see that something that's called Torah has to be done by day, and that gets us back to the soita.
Coming from the inheritance.
Yeah. There is, by the way, there's a rule which applies only to kodshim. It doesn't apply in other places. It doesn't apply to other areas in shas, that says that something that you learn out from a hekesh, you can't learn something else out from it with a hekesh. So that is it. But here we're not talking about korbanos, so therefore this kind of double hekesh of mishpat to mishpat and then Torah to Torah works. If we were talking about korbanos, it wouldn't work. Next, v'la'arifa se'egla, we say the chopping off the head of the egla arufa can only be done by day. Amidvei Rabbi Yana, because kaparach sibak kodshim, because the Torah uses the word kapara on it, kapar la'amcha Yisrael, the Koyanim say, so therefore it's just like kodshim. So just like kodshim can only be done by day, so can this. Yeah, because they're both called kapara. Well, taharas metzora, the cleansing of the metzora can only be done by day. Dichtiv zoisti et toras a metzora b'yom taharosay, on the day when he becomes tahar. Then we said kol alayla kosher l'ktir t'omer v'chola, that the whole night is kosher to harvest the barley for the omer. D'omer mar, because the Braisa says that's how it is. Sfira is sfira b'alayla. The harvesting and the sfira have to be done by night. V'hava b'yom, the bringing of the korban is done by day. The reason why we say that the cutting and the counting have to be davka by night, we're saying is because the Torah says it has to be sheva shabbos tzrina tiyana, has to be complete. If you harvest it by day, only when you start harvesting it does the mitzvah of sfiras ha'omer begin. If you harvest it by day, you don't have 7 complete weeks because you're missing a night. So in order for it to be 49 complete days, yeah, it has to begin by night. That's what we're saying. If we begin it the next morning, we know Shavuos is going to be the 50th day. Shavuos, like every other Yom Tov, begins at night. Then you'd only have 48 and a half days. You need 49 complete days. This is, by the way, this is that we say Sheva Shabbos Tzmimos is the reason why I think the Taz brings this, and this is how we're knowing, is that Shavuos night, we make sure to start davening Ma'ariv only when it's definitely Tzeis HaKachov, because we want the 7 weeks of Sfira to be complete. So the Ksira Sa'im has to be done by night, but once it's by night, then it's kosher all night. And the whole night is kosher to burn the fat and the pieces of the korbanos on the Mizbeach. Because the Torah says you can bring it on the Mizbeach all night until the morning. Zach, the Mishnah said this is the general rule. The Gemara generally assumes that when the Mishnah has listed a bunch of things and then it says Zach Kval, it's not just coming to give us a summary, it's coming to teach us a case that we didn't know of before, a case that we didn't have in the Mishnah. So Zachlau lastu yamai. So what does the Zachlau come to include? The answer is lastu yasidur bazichin v'siluk bazichin. It comes to include the placing of the bazichim, of the spoonfuls of Torah of Levona on the shulchan together with the lechem upon him, and the taking them off. Which actually we don't just mean not just the bazichim. Actually, we mean the taking off and the putting on of the whole stacks of lechem upon him. The bazichim went along with them. Bazichin of spoons. They're little spoons. They're little spoons that Rambam describes that flat bottom. So you put them on the shulchan and they stay there for a week. They put a handful of levoina, frankincense, into each one of them. They put them according to one opinion next to each stack of lachem upon them on the table. According to another opinion, they put it on top. Machlokes and Menachos, and then every Shabbos they would replace the lechem upon him, and they would take out the bazichim and burn the levoina on the mizbeach, and then refill them and put them back. Yeah. So then, when our Mishnah is saying that you can do that all day, that is v'chidob yosi. This goes according to Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosi, Omer, silikasi shana shachris. If you took away the old lechem upon him and the old bazichim in the morning on Shabbos, the Siddur as a Chadasha Arvis, you put out the new bread and the new bazichim later in the day, towards the evening, and b'chachlum, there's no problem. Unlike the Tanakhama says over there, then no, the Tanakhama describes that actually, the Torah says that you have to have lachem ponim lefonai tomid. The lachem ponim always has to be on the table. So the Tanakhama takes that literally. You always have to have, there can't be a moment the lachem upon him is not on the table. So therefore, the Tanakhama describes you have to have a bunch of koyanim go in there together, and while two of them are pulling out this one stack of lachem upon him, or one of them is pulling out the stack of lachem upon him, the next one is pushing in the new stack.
On what?
On the shulchan, on the top of your, you have the top of the shulchan over here, you had a stack of lachem upon him and another stack of lachem upon him. So according to the Tanakhama, you have one koyanim, or two koyanim, I forget what it is, are pulling out the one stack of lachem upon him, the six eye at the same time, the other one is standing on the other side of the table and pushing the new one in, so the shulchan is literally not for a moment without the lachem upon him on it. But Rabbi Yossi says that no, Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't matter. If you were to take out the old lachem upon him in the morning, and later that afternoon you come on and put new lachem upon him, and new bazichim, that's no problem. Umani mekayim lefnei Hashem tamid. How do we fulfill what the pasuk says, that there has to be lachem upon him on the table always? Just means, shalo yehi shulchan v'lo lachem, just means it can't be overnight without bread. It doesn't have to be, though, every moment. As long as sometime during the day you have lachaponim on there, then as long as it doesn't come the night without lachaponim, then you're good. That's what our Mishnah is saying. That according to Rabbi Yossi, that any time during the day you could be taking off the old bezichin and any time and the old lachaponim. Thank you. And any time during the day you could be putting. Thank you. And any time during the day you could be putting on the new ones.
Even with separation.
Yeah. Then the Mishnah said, "Dovash mitzvot b'alayla kosher kol alayla." That anything with mitzvah to do it by night is kosher all night. And again, lasu yamai. What does that come in to include? Lasu achilas pesachim. That comes to include the eating of the korban pesach. And that would mean that our Mishnah is the loy kerav alazav ben Azariah. Therefore, that would mean that our Mishnah is not like the alazav ben Azariah, who holds that you can only eat in tochatzos. D'tanya, as we learn in a brayta of achol, when the pasuk says, "V'achol sabasa b'alayla azeh," says they should eat the meat on this night. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, how much of the night? Well, Nema kan b'layla hazeh. Here the pasuk says that you have to eat the korban pesach on this night. V'nema lahalam v'avarti beretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. And then later on, the Torah says, I'll pass through the land of Mitzrayim on this night. Ma lahalam ad chatzos, just like over there, it's until chatzos, because chatzos was makas b'chayrus. Afkan ad chatzos, so therefore over here the deadline is chatzos also. Our Mishnah, when it's saying that Dovash mitzvot b'layla, kosher kol alayla, holds not like that. Now, Tosfos discusses the issue. Okay, well, is the halacha like Rav Elazar ben Azariah or not? Even the other chachamim agree that you're not supposed to eat it after chatzos. The very first mishnah of bracha says in order to keep away because you don't want to get careless. You don't want to get careless. But you still that's the question, really. There are actually three different opinions. One opinion is we're not gozer it by the korban pesach because the korban pesach it's a korban, people are careful with it, so therefore there's no concern that you're gonna be late with it. Whereas with krishma we're concerned about that, and therefore you have to read krishma b'chatzos. Another opinion is that midrabanan you do have the same deadline until chatzos by the korban pesach. And a third opinion is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the deadline is actually midrabanan. Our Mishnah is saying not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It could still be saying according to either of the other opinions, because you could say that our Mishnah is going, is telling us what the basic concept of Daraisa, it's not really getting into what might or might not be also Darabanan. But so on the one hand, we have our Stam Mishnah not according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. On the other hand, there's several other Stam Mishnayas in Shas that do say like him. One of them we say in Ezer Mekoyman, HaPesach Enin Nechal Ela Balayla Ben Nechal Ela Ad Chatzos. And that whole part of Stam Mishnah. So what do you do with it? That's the thing. The reason why we say the Perek Ezer Mekoyman is it's actually the only Perek in Shas where there's no variant opinions quoted. Rishonim bring, I think they have Rudraham and others, that Perek is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And that's why there's no Machlokes on it. Now, there are actually Machlokes on several details in that Perek, this being one of them, but the Mishnah doesn't actually spell them out over there. But that's the question. So we have our Stam Mishnah saying one way. We have that Stam Mishnah saying another way. We have another Stam Mishnah at the end of Pesachim also saying that they're also saying like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Tosfos says, yes, that means that in this case, then we have to say the halacha is not like our Mishnah. Even though we wanted to say our Mishnah is halacha psukkis, everything in the halacha is like everything in our Mishnah, not necessarily. Because we have two other Mishnayos that contradict it. We have two other Stam Mishnayos that contradict it. Therefore, Tosfos says, as a practical matter, this is why we have to finish eating the matzah before chatzos. Which what we do min chabad. Therefore, is we make sure the first night we eat by chatzos. The second night we're only doing because it's steak of the yom anyway, so that we're more lenient on, and we go much later. And then Tosfos also says over here that halal you don't have to be machmir so much since it's only dirabanan. There are people who are noyig that you have to be careful to finish halal by chatzos. That's not that our minhag is not. Had an alacha curry on my friend.